May it please the court, judges. My name is Pat O'Brien. I represent the appellant in this case, Anivo Punzo. The issue that I want to address before your honors is the question of whether Judge Cannelli was correct in denying a motion to suppress. This is a conditional plea that followed, which allowed us to raise his ruling on the motion to suppress. There was drugs and guns seized subsequently in the search of a house and a garage. In connection with the matter, what occurred was there had been an arrest on the street of a person who had some cocaine in their vehicle. And this vehicle, the police believe, was tied to the garage where Mr. Punzo lived. The police then set up a surveillance of his house for approximately 3 or more hours and subsequently directed Chicago police officers who were part of surveillance along with customs agents to knock on the door of the house and see if they could gain entry and talk and subsequently attempt to gain consent to search the house. Now, the issue that we raised that I don't believe Judge Cannelli correctly decided was whether there was an illegal search which preceded the consent and thereby tainted the consent which was given by Manuel Punzo, who was the son of the defendant and who had been in the house at the time.
Why would any illegal search, such as, you know, opening the garage door, that would be Agent Estes, taint Manuel Punzo's consent if he had no idea that it had happened? The officers go to the door, and as I understand the version of the facts that the district court credited, he doesn't think Manuel Punzo knew about either the garage incident or possibly the people doing the sweep through the back of the house.
Well, as to the garage incident, I would agree that Mr. Punzo, according to the evidence, was not aware of that. But as to
So if we just stop with that, you can't argue that his consent is tainted somehow by the earlier activity if he doesn't have any idea it's happened.
But the activity that he does have knowledge of would be when he allows three officers to enter.
All right, I'm just trying to narrow the issue here. Yes. So we're not worrying about the garage, right? That doesn't taint the consent. If we want to focus on the other, that's fine, and you can focus on it.
Then the question of allowing three officers to enter just for the purpose of coming into his house and talking to him, and as they are talking to him, one of those three officers runs past him, goes through the first floor, out to the basement level, opens that door, and allows other officers to enter. Those other officers, one of whom testified, says that he then goes through the rooms in the basement, conducting a cursory protective sweep, comes up through the kitchen in the back, and he, along with the other officers that were allowed in, are standing in the kitchen while this officer becomes a witness to the presentation of the written form consent to Mr. Punzo.
Here's another question. As I understand the record that the district court credited, there was oral consent given by Manuel Punzo before the signing of the written consent. So there's a temporal sequence here.
That is correct, but the oral consent is immediately preceding the form that's handed to him. And at that time, the officer, that first officer of the three who went into the house, has already went through the house without permission, gone through to the basement, opened the basement door without permission, allowed these other officers to enter without permission, and those other officers are then going through the basement rooms and coming up into the kitchen when the written form is then presented to Mr. Punzo.
But you mentioned a minute ago that the officers rushed past Mr. Punzo Sr., Manuel Punzo, and I thought that was his testimony. I thought Officer Lau had, whose testimony the court credited, had a different version of that.
Well, Mr. Punzo said there were more officers that came to the door, and I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is that even the testimony that was credited, which is Officer Gerald Lau, is that three officers came to the door, and one of those three that came with Gerald Lau went past Mr. Punzo into the kitchen and then disappeared, returning with the additional officers. And it's
why are we compelled to derive a finding of coercion vis-a-vis the consent from that set of facts?
Well, I believe that Mr. Punzo testifies, and it isn't, and I think it's also the testimony of, or at least inferences from the testimony of Gerald Lau, that at the time the consent is given, there's already been a search of the house. There's already been people running through, coming back upstairs and into the kitchen. The Seventh Circuit had decided on the U.S. versus List case, which I cite, that it becomes coercive when you request consent, having already, in fact, searched, or at least done a preliminary search of the same place where you're requesting that consent. The idea that you present somebody with a particular decision, and then the circumstances show that that decision, quite frankly, is irrelevant because they've already, in some fashion or to some extent, already done the search. And that's what I'm saying, that obviously these officers are visible to Mr. Punzo. The fact that one person, according to Officer Lau, is running past him is visible to him because he's right there with Officer Lau. And when he is given the oral consent and when he is given the form to sign, he already has knowledge that the police are doing exactly what supposedly they're giving him the option to decide.
Okay. If you would like to save any rebuttal time, that's up to you.
I would, Your Honor.
Thank you. Yes, Ms. Moncrief?
May it please the Court, Felicia Moncrief on behalf of the United States. Your Honor is correct. Verbal consent had been obtained prior to anybody else entering the Punzo residence.
Is the record clear that that verbal consent is even prior to the people going in the back and doing the sweep?
Yes. On the transcript of May 28th, 2004, I believe the first day of the suppression hearing, page 123. Gerald Lau is testifying that he walked in with two other officers, one being Vinny Scassione and the other that he could not recall. He says, at that time, within the first minute, I asked a several, series of questions. And then there's this quote. After the three of us got in, I got verbal consent. But after I got verbal consent, more people came in. It is not absolutely clear when this other officer began walking back to the back door, but it is notable that Mr. Punzo, in his testimony, when he is asked on direct, after he has described this circumstance where all these officers come in, guns drawn, pushing him on the couch, he's asked specifically, quote, did anyone else come in the house through other entranceways besides the front door? Answer, quote, I don't see. There is no evidence, and it's interesting because in the defendant's briefs as well as the reply brief, they are merging two sets of facts. The first set of facts comes from Manuel Punzo, which the court rightly rejected based on its unbelievability. He is now merging this fact of all these officers coming in with their guns drawn, running around the house and going back and opening the door. The testimony that was credited is Gerald Lau's, which says, we walked in, I obtained verbal consent, and at some point during this process, someone else walked in the back. The written consent occurs later after officers are already in. There's no dispute about that. It's happening in the kitchen. Officer Honore, who is one of the people who had walked back in, was present for that. But it's interesting because when you look at Mr. Manuel Punzo, who's the defendant's father's version, which he testified about at length, nowhere does he say anything about, well, I saw these officers coming in from the back, therefore I felt I had no choice. Rather, it was, they were holding guns at me. They demanded that I sign this. I had no choice. They were scaring me. It was not, I figured they were already doing the search, so I had no choice.
The protective sweep is undertaken only by the people who came in from the back or by everybody?
Only by the people that came through the back, Your Honor.
Officer Honore, or however he pronounces his name, and others?
And others, correct. The court previously referred to Agent Estes's entry through the garage, and that's correct. There's no evidence that the defendant, or that Mr. Manuel Punzo, rather, had any knowledge of that. And the same goes for this protective sweep. Officers were there. They had interviewed him. They had got verbal consent immediately, and that's when people started coming in. Officer Honore testified that he came to the kitchen. Nobody was searching for anything except looking for people and looking for hazards to their safety before the full search began. So, in short, I just want to call the court's attention to the fact that these facts that are being merged together are not what happened. What we know and what the credible testimony is that officers entered, verbal consent was given. At some point during Officer Lau's conversation with Manuel Punzo, this other officer, who is unknown at this time, walked back to unopen the door for the other officers. But again, Mr. Manuel Punzo was not even aware of that or what they were doing, and that is directly reflected on the transcript of July 13th, page 134.
Well, Spanish is a primary language, Manuel Punzo's.
I think the record bears out, Judge, that it was his primary language, and there are some references to, oh, well, they didn't have a Spanish-speaking officer there who was talking to him. And what's interesting, if you'll look at the transcript of the motion to suppress hearing, when Manuel Punzo is called to testify, even his own, the defense counselor for his son says, we can go ahead without an interpreter. He's fine. And all of his questions in the transcript and all of his answers are in English, which you can tell just from reading it, he has a grasp and a talent with speaking the English language.
I knew that had happened, but was there an interpreter ready to testify?
And just from the transcript, Judge, I was not the counsel at that level, but it appears as though the interpreter was on the way but was running a little bit late, and they decided to go ahead without the interpreter.
Was a written consent form in both English and Spanish?
The consent form that was presented, I know it was in Spanish. I can't recall whether or not it was in English as well, but the one that was given, I think there was English on one side, Spanish on the back, and as Officer Honore testified, he could observe Manuel Punzo on the couch reading it and appeared to do what someone does.
What side did he sign?
The Spanish side.
Not the English side.
Correct.
Were any officers conversant in Spanish?
The three that came to the front door were not. There was somebody later at the station, Officer Ramirez, who I believe spoke Spanish, but nobody was there at the scene who spoke fluent Spanish, at least not to to Mr. Manuel Punzo.
Lau didn't speak Spanish.
That's correct. So on that, we would just rest on the briefs, and we'd ask the court to affirm the ruling on the motion to suppress, unless there's any other questions.
No, apparently not. Thank you very much. Mr. O'Brien.
In connection with the oral consent and the timing of that, the first thing that happened when Officer Lau came in the door, according to him, is that he began questioning Mr. Punzo. He didn't offer or ask for consent at that time. He then asked Mr. Punzo for identification. He patted Mr. Punzo down and took his wallet. It was a couple minutes before the oral consent was requested and the written form was handed to Mr. Punzo. And Mr. Lau's testimony on the transcript, this is volume 3, page 62, when the consent went down, everybody was in the kitchen. The guys who came through the back door were in the kitchen. Judge, I believe it was the credited testimony that Officer Lau said the first officer that went through the house went through there prior to any consent being requested. There was a couple of minutes that were being taken up in and Officer Lau's questioning about whether there was anybody in the house, who was there, who was Mr. Punzo, and then, of course, a pat-down, a wallet taken, and identification taken from the wallet.
So, of course, at the end of the day, this question of consent is a totality of the circumstances inquiry anyway. So even if you're right that somebody's starting to walk toward the back of the house, is that enough to lead to the conclusion that Manuel Punzo's consent, which happens just about at the same time, even if you're right and there's a slight overlap, why would that destroy the totality analysis?
Judge, it would, because in the totality of the consent, there already is somebody going through the house, according to Officer Lau. Mr. Punzo, at the time prior to any consent, has already been patted down without his consent, and that's according to Officer Lau. Had his wallet taken from him and identification taken from him without his consent, and that's according to Officer Lau.
But he's invited them into the house, too, according to Officer Lau.
Yes, to talk. But I don't believe that the case law establishes that somehow an invitation to talk, to come into the house, then also expands that to having somebody run through the house or go through the house to open another door to bring other officers in, or to pat that person down who they're talking to, or to take identification from them. And the form...
So why couldn't there be a pat-down? Surely that's something that officers will do for officer safety.
Well, Judge, I believe there has to be some indication that there's some decision that they somehow feel the need for that, that there's reasonable suspicion. It's not. I don't think they can do a pat-down simply because...
They can do a safety pat-down without any reasonable suspicion of anything. They can do that on a Terry stop. They can do it in the street. They can do it in a house. They can do any place.
But Judge...
It's not the subjective position of the police officer here that we're worried about.
But on a Terry stop, there still is a need to establish reasonable suspicion for stop.
But when you... Yeah.
And then,
when they're in the house...
Yes.
They don't know what they're facing, and so they do a pat-down. You think that's illegal?
No, I'm talking about the coercive nature, which was the question the judge...
It has nothing to do with the illegality of the pat-down.
No, just
that's
the coercive nature,
right.
Nature of it, which is, I thought, the initial direction of the question. I apologize if I confused that. The form that's handed is a two-sided form, English and Spanish. None of the blanks that are on the form are filled in, including what's to be searched. It's filled in later, and there's testimony about alterations, overwritings, whiteout that's used, none of which is answered by any of the witnesses who have control of that form from the time it's handed till the time it's inventoried. And I think that's all part of the problem, that there is an illegality that precedes a search. It taints it under Pedroza because of the time. There's no intervening circumstances. And there was a desire, basically, which is, I think, part of the garage thing, there was a desire to do a search no matter what. Thank you, Justice.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. O'Brien. Thanks to both counsel, and we'll take the case under advisement.